Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. Thank you for joining us this week. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this week. We know everybody's busy. Everybody has commitments on their time. We appreciate you spending a couple 20 minutes with us on a weekly basis to hear about what's going on in the rail space and from the rail volume perspective. Before we jump in, I want to remind everybody it is not too late to get yourself a spot at the FTR Transportation Conference. It'll take place less than a month from now, September 11th to the 14th, at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. We have a great lineup of speakers for you this year, so you get not just the FTR perspective, but you get the perspective of thought leaders and other leading companies in your industries about how they're thinking about the months, the quarters, the years ahead, and how they're planning their business. So you will not want to miss it. Four great days. We have a day for truck and trailer equipment, a day for truck freight, a day for rail and intermodal freight, as well as a day for rail equipment. You will not want to miss it. You will want to be there. It is not too late. You can go to www.ftrconference.com. And that'll give you all the information about how to get a hotel, how to get registered, and the great hard-hitting lineup that we have assembled for you yet again this year in Indianapolis. Put it on your calendar. Your competition will be there. You should be there too. And with that, let's jump right into the talk this week about what is going on in the rail markets. On the intermodal side of the house, I've got to tell you, not a whole lot to talk about. Really a fairly status quo report overall. Not much movement in any way, shape, or form. Carload volumes, on the other hand, showed a little bit of an increase, but I will warn you, it is highly centralized in non-metallic minerals. And below that, non-metallic minerals on one particular carrier. And so that suggests that that gain may not be sustainable, that it may be a catch-up volumes of some sort, either because of a production outage or a port shutdown or a backlog that accumulated during a port shutdown. And so as we go forward in time, we wouldn't expect non-metallic minerals volumes to jump quite the way they did in the latest week, but we will certainly keep an eye on it. It will take other commodity groups bouncing back, moving up in order to offset what is likely to be a reversion to the mean for non-metallic minerals volumes over the longer term. Now let's jump in. Let's talk about those intermodal loadings. And you can see here, not much movement at all. Really very flat over the last really month to 6 weeks. And that is not what you would expect. If you look over history, we're working toward the peak season at this time of year. And what we see with the 2023 result is that there is no real peak season to speak of. It's really sort of the peak season that wasn't, if you will, in terms of overall intermodal loadings, intermodal pressure in the system. Again, if you've read the reports, if you've listened to the podcast on a regular basis, this shouldn't be overly surprising to you, but that is what we're seeing in the numbers here. We continue to run 5, 6, 7% down on a year-over-year basis, even more than that compared to the five-year average. We just continue to have struggles on the intermodal side of the house. So what about trailers? Let's drill down into the specifics. Easy for me to say. Trailer volumes, again, not much movement. We continue to hold right around 11,000 or so trailers a week, which is about 4,000 trailers a week lower than we were for much of the year. And so we're sort of holding at this post-yellow normal for trailer volumes. And the yellow bankruptcy continues to work its way through the courts, continues to work its way through the system. We don't yet know what's going to happen to all of those assets or all of that freight. We do know that, at least in the short run, that freight has found other homes in the LTL system, and those other LTL carriers are not as keen or not as set up to handle intermodal trailers in the way that yellow was. And so we'll have to sort of recalibrate over the long run if yellow does not come back in some similar fashion through the bankruptcy process. We'll have to recalibrate our expectations for the trailer market at this sort of lower level of normal, down around 11,000 trailers a week, which puts us down 25-30% on a year-over-year basis. We had been making inroads on a year-over-year basis. The year-over-year comparisons have been getting better until the yellow fallout hit the intermodal markets, and then we're right back to where we were during the first quarter, early second quarter of the year in the trailer market. Container volumes, again, not a whole lot to say here. Pretty flat, no sign of a peak season whatsoever. Really just continuing to run right around 323,000 or so containers a week. Not any movement, not any life at all. If you look at the truck market, if you listen to my colleague Avery Weiss's Truck Market Update podcast, you know that the trucking market is loose. You know that dry van rates are low, that active truck utilization is weak, is below historical normals. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we're not seeing the typical upward momentum in intermodal containers, because there isn't that pressure in the system. Intermodal is not playing that typical role of pressure relief valve for an overcrowded truckload space. And so we're not getting the same momentum that we typically, historically, have become accustomed to see in the intermodal space at this time of year. Now let's shift gears and let's talk carload for a minute. Now carload, as I said, it moved up on a sequential basis. Moved up, it followed very closely last year's pattern. We're up a little bit year over year, about 0.5% or so, 0.75% or so above last year. We're still below the 5-year average, and a lot of the increase, nearly all of the increase in the last week, is related to one carrier's non-metallic mineral shipments. And so we'll see if that is sustainable as we go forward in time. Certainly we'll take a little bit of a break here on the Labor Day week. We'll see volumes come down, but until then, at least last year and in the 5-year average, we've seen volumes steadily increase. We'll see what other commodity group steps up to the plate to power that increase in 2023. It's probably not non-metallic minerals, I'll say that much. We look at economically sensitive freight. It also had a very nice sequential uptick, putting it basically in line with its 5-year average, about 2-2.5% above last year's levels. And this, again, is a function of that non-metallic minerals strength. Non-metallic minerals is one of the economically sensitive freight categories, and so it is reflected in this number. And we'll see where economically sensitive freight goes from here. Certainly, there are more ways to an upside here than there are in overall carload, as there have been for much of the year. If you take a look back over the course of the year, what do you see? You see that on a year-over-year basis, the economically sensitive freight growth has been a little bit better, 2% or so better consistently throughout the year than the overall carload space. And so we should expect that to continue as we go forward in time. Just to level set everybody again this week, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means no coal, no agriculture, no petroleum. Just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Just those sectors that are more responsive to economic change. Things like automotive, things like lumber and wood, metals, pulp and paper, aggregates. Those sorts of commodities are what's in this number. But you can't have a carload discussion and not talk about the bulk businesses. I mean, coal is still the largest carload sector by volume. in the carload space. And you can see, sequentially, it basically was flat in the latest week. And we're very closely following 2022's trajectory. Now, that's below the five-year average. It's basically right on last year's number. But if you notice some things, and if you're a frequent listener to the podcast, you know where I stand on this. I don't think we're going to get another leg up in this market. I think we are at the peak, even though it's been hot in Texas, even though it's been hot across the upper Midwest. I don't see us getting that boost in coal demand. You still have seaborne prices that are significantly down on a year-over-year basis. You still have natural gas prices that are $2.50 per MMBTU. There just isn't the fundamental economics to support another leg up here. Now, coal has defied me for all of 2022 in terms of how well it has held on to this 70 to 75,000 carload a week range. It very well could defy me again going forward. But at some point, I believe that economics do win, that economics do win out, and that coal will turn around. I don't see the economic fundamentals able to support that as we go, as we continue to move forward. On the grain side of the house, we saw a little bit of a sequential uptick on a sequential basis, still well off of last year, still well off the five-year average. And nothing really changing here that says we're going to get a bump before we get the typical harvest bump in about a month here. Until we get the harvest starting to come in places, I think you're going to continue to see this number be pressured, continue to hold right around 25,000 carloads a week or so as we continue through the weeks and months ahead. So let's now shift gears and let's get back into those economically sensitive freight categories. Let's talk about the chemicals market. Chemicals, you can see we bounced back on a sequential basis. We moved back above last year, back above the five-year average, back above 45,000 carloads a week. But really, if you look over a longer period of time, the story has not fundamentally changed, not fundamentally shifted. We continue to run in that 45 to 46 or 47,000 carload a week range, and we continue to just hold steady here. Now, that's a glass half full, glass half empty proposition, depending on how you want to look at it. Certainly, there's stability there. Certainly, going into the second half of the year in 2022, what we didn't see in chemicals was stability. So from that standpoint, 2023 is an improvement. But from the other standpoint, you're not seeing growth. You're not seeing the growth that was a hallmark of the chemicals sector over the last, call it 5 to 7 years. You're just not seeing that. You're not seeing that sustained growth. And if you look at the gray bars that show the year-over-year change, you can see that it's only been half a dozen weeks, really, the whole year that we've been positive on a year-over-year basis for the chemical sector. That has read-throughs because, yes, the flammables liquids, yes, the hazardous liquids, they get a lot of press, they get a lot of light and heat in the media and in the industry, but there are a whole category of inert chemicals. There are a whole category of base chemicals that support manufacturing and industrial processes across the entire economy that are reflected in this number. And so this tells us that the manufacturing economy is stable, but it's certainly not growing. It's certainly not going to post a robust industrial production result. This would say that we're just going to continue to balance along where we have been. And we'll see how long that takes before we get another leg up in growth. Certainly, you get a little bit of organic growth at the end of next year, the early part of 2025, as additional facilities start to come online along the Gulf Coast. You start to see, you know, wave two or three or four now of chemicals facilities expansions down there over the last number of years. That will help volumes, but that's a long way out in the windshield. That's a long way out on the horizon. A lot of things can go wrong to change those timings, stretch those timings out, and delay that ultimate volume growth that railroads would expect to see from those facilities coming online. Petroleum products down sequentially, but also no real change to the absolute story here. Really just continuing to bounce around, continuing to follow normal historical seasonal patterns, right between last year and the five-year average, right at 20,000 or so carloads a week. Not really moving a whole lot. If you look over the course of the year, particularly from the second quarter on, we've really been just at or below that 20,000 level for most of the year. We really haven't gotten a lot of momentum one way or the other when it comes to petroleum products. Stone, sand, and gravel, down a little bit, really pretty flat on a sequential basis. Essentially right at last year, right at the five-year average, continuing to run at a healthy level, right around 29,000 or so carloads a week. Not really concerned about this commodity group. It continues to perform relatively well. We don't see signs of material weakness, of material slowing here. We continue to believe that there's going to be momentum in stone, sand, and gravel as we go forward. Shifting gears to forest products, lumber and wood, a nice, strong sequential uptick here. I know that gets a lot of eyeballs, gets a lot of attention, but the overall footing of the lumber market continues to be one of weakness. We continue to be down 10% on a year-over-year basis. We continue to be right about that same level below the five-year average. We have not fundamentally changed the tone. We have not fundamentally changed the story just because there's one strong sequential data point in the latest week. The housing market continues to be slow. The housing reports continue to be weak, and lumber is a huge input into that market. Until mortgage rates come down or until folks decide to take the plunge and pull the trigger on that 7% mortgage rate on the belief that maybe in the short run they're going to continue to go higher than that 7% that you can get today in the mortgage market and provide some catalyst for housing and some catalyst for lumber, we don't see things fundamentally changing in this marketplace. Pulp and paper, yes, it went up sequentially. The story has not changed. Even that sequential uptick didn't get us back to where we were running before the recent plunge 2 weeks ago. We continue in pulp and paper to be hammered. We continue to be about 6,700 carloads a week. We continue to be at 12%, 15% off year-ago levels, more than that off of the five-year average. Every time you listen to an earnings call from this sector, you get more and more depressed about when pulp and paper is going to post a recovery, when things are going to turn around. Certainly, there does not appear to be any holiday restocking ahead of the consumer buying period here for between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Certainly, the retail earnings recently, Macy's and Dick's Sporting Goods and some of the other folks who have made public statements recently in the retail space, didn't engender a lot of confidence about upward momentum, about strong demand from the consumer around the holidays. That's going to put additional pressure on this number. All those smiley face boxes that arrive at your front door from your local neighborhood online retailer, they are made from pulp. They are made from box board. If demand from that is weak and demand from that continues to be weak, then you're not going to see this number move in any meaningful way upward from its doldrum levels at the present time. But I want to end on a high note, so let's talk automotive here at the end. A nice, strong sequential uptick back above 25,000 carloads a week. We're through the retoolings at this point. We're through any sort of summer hiccups at this point. We continue to see momentum in automotive, not just from auto sales, but also from the need to restock dealer inventories. That continues to be an ongoing driver here. You look at inventory to sales ratios for retail, and when you look at retail and retail ex automotive, they tell you a very different story because of the impact of inventory levels in the automotive space. And so we expect this to continue, although the wild card here for automotive has to do with the UAW strike. There's certainly been a lot of saber rattling that could happen, particularly around Stellantis' proposal, the former Chrysler Group's proposal for its unionized workforce. All eyes are on that and to see what happens as we get through the next month or so. Certainly, any sort of a job action by the UAW would have a dramatic effect on finished vehicle movements. It almost goes without saying, but just so folks are aware, that would very quickly turn the spigot off in terms of automotive carloads, at least for the duration of any sort of labor strife that goes on. So with that, let's wrap up. Automotive volumes, intermodal volumes, excuse me, very, very flat on really no catalyst, no peak season, just not a lot to say here going on. It's just continuing to run at low levels with no sign of momentum. You have imports down, you have consumer spending, certainly with a cloud over it based on the statements that are out there and the earnings that were out there. So there really isn't the need to keep goods flowing at the same rate. And certainly you have competitive issues on the truck side that are also constraining how much volume moves intermodal relative to total volume. And on the carload side, it moved up, but it moved up on strength really on one carrier in one segment. And we'll have to see as we go forward whether that is truly sustainable over time in the weeks, the months, the quarters ahead. Is there another commodity group that's going to take the bull by the horns and power growth? Or are we going to see some additional volatility come into the overall carload number over the weeks and months ahead? Time will tell. But with that, I want to thank you all for joining us this week. Hopefully, we will see you all in Indianapolis next month. Remember, there's still time to be in the room there. Go to www.ftrconference.com for all the information about that. And feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you have conference questions, questions about what you're hearing in the website, questions about what you're seeing in the podcast, the reports. Always happy to talk about the industry. It's one of the reasons we get up in the morning. So feel free to reach out anytime. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what's going on in your business. And with that, I hope you have a great week as always. I am your host, Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal at FTR. Thank you for listening and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.